Hello, and welcome to Artistas in the Capital. My name is Norma Sorto, and I'm your host for Hola Cultura's brand new monthly podcast, featuring interviews with Latinx artists in the Washington area. When you think of dance, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Jazz, ballet, hip-hop? For Latinos, we think of identity. From the north of Mexico to the south of Argentina, each nation and region of Latin America has a style of dance incorporated into its culture. Our guest this month hails from a country with a rich dance tradition and is creating his own narratives. Gabriel Mata is a career performer, choreographer, and educator originally from Mexico. As a professionally trained dancer, Gabriel has and continues to create a multidisciplinary approach of using his classical dance training to create work inspired by his personal immigrant journey as a Latinx man. By combining those aspects, he hopes to push the boundaries of what dance is and shed light on communities not often given the spotlight. Here is our interview with Gabriel, conducted by Spell participant Cristela Bonilla back in March of 2023.
Buenas. Please call me Gabriel or Gabrielle. I have been living in D.C. for almost 6 years. I was born in Mexico in the state of Guerrero, raised in Southern California. So I have the immigrant background, specifically the undocumented immigrant background. So I grew up in Southern California and I started dancing in high school while I was also learning about my undocumented status and also learning about my queer identity. So dance has been with me ever since I was navigating these parts of my life that were in positions of understanding and exploring. So it is through dance that I learned how to have a voice when I didn't have a voice politically or with a vote, how to be able to relate narratives from underserved communities such as Latinx undocumented migrant communities. I work as a choreographer, I work as a performer, and I'm also an adjunct at University of Maryland and American University. I navigate the world of production and theater. I am trained in concert dance, so anything within a proscenium stage or a regular theater setting. I've had to learn to adapt and learn all the skills required for production since undocumented immigrants don't get local city arts funding. At least when I was growing up in California, there wasn't. And now I have a permanent resident status in DC. So more opportunities are open for me. Before that, I had DACA. So I was DACA-mented for several years, I think about almost 10 years. And so I know that process as well. And well, what else can I say? I am an artist advocate in DC, one that looks to create opportunities to present, but also to collaborate with other local artists. And I'm also a grant writer, so I'm out here trying to get the grants that will highlight, support the communities that I am around in.
Thank you so much for introducing yourself. My first question for you today is, what inspires you to dance?
In the beginning, it was because while policies and laws governed my body, how I lived as an undocumented immigrant in an underserved community, they couldn't control how my body moved or expressed itself. And so I found a lot of curiosity in that, knowing that I have that agency, that living on stolen land, living on land where I'm not offered the opportunities as US-born people are. So it was some part of me that thought beyond dancing as fun, but dancing as a form of protest, but also of understanding myself and my body. So that continues to inspire me to create work, but also to push the barrier of highlighting the kinds of moving that we can do. As someone who's Mexican, a lot of dancing is seen more in the social setting, but we can be in the theater setting. We can be in spaces like the Kennedy Center performing our own identity and culture.
How do these performances resemble your life?
My performances do resemble my life. I create within dance and the use of voice and story. I create something that's specifically called motion memoirs. It is performance centered on movement and also focused on developing marginalized communities' narrative, as well as the ways that we haven't been highlighted. So I perform because I have lived. I perform because I see a future with my body and I have questions about how I'm going to navigate certain things. For example, my next piece will question citizenship, as I believe I will be applying for citizenship in about 2 or 3 years. The prompt is, what kind of citizen do I want to be? Do I want to be the kind of citizen that was just trying to assimilate to the American dream? Or am I now able to have that power and challenge the idea of citizenship in a way that also tends to me being attuned to the ways that policies and laws have really undervalued and done things to our communities that are very harmful, especially when thinking about farm workers. So yes, performance is my life, and performance is a space for me to bring in culture and other in collaboration conversations with whomever gets invited to be in the space or is able to create in the space with me.
How has your process evolved over time?
I feel that any piece that I create or any class that I develop naturally unfolds. I am actively challenging myself. I'm actively trying to be attuned to the space or the students or the audiences. I'm actively also trying to recognize how we engage the socio-political climate and have mindfulness in how we want to progress socially. So I feel that I try to be like a sponge all the time in understanding how the language that I used and understanding the way I use my body in understanding my relationship to other bodies and the space that share it with me. So for me, it's a constant act of attention. I think the more that I'm able to be asking questions is the best way for me to be as open as possible. Yes, it is a case by case situation. And so I'm just recognizing how I really try to be there, aware, present in any instance. And I don't feel like I have had the same experience twice. And that's really good because it keeps me on my toes.
Is there a specific thought, concept, or idea introduced in the work that makes you think on a higher level?
I'm the first in my family to graduate from high school. I'm also the first to go to an undergraduate program. I'm the first to get a master's degree. And so already all of that has opened my mind in different ways that we weren't able to be served in our own family. I think there is no requirement for my family to be as knowledgeable, but their own drive to tell me you can accomplish so much, you just have to work hard, I think that has really propelled me to push beyond my limits. And so the privilege and the knowledge that comes from a graduate degree program, specifically in dance, is what makes me so attuned to sensibilities that aren't necessarily just about creating dances or how to dance. It is about how we come together as community or how we try and create bridges for others to connect. And also how we think about the body, what moving means, and how we can undo ways that moving bodies can challenge these notions that are socially engaged. And I think that's where art can be radical, is that with this knowledge, we create these performances, these events that allow the audience to experience an event that tries to push beyond what the comfort level may be, what the assumed ideas of how dances are. All in all to say that in choreography, I use elements of surprise to get us into these spaces where it's like, oh, as audience members, we have to wake up a little bit more. And I think that's a tool that isn't commonly thought of when you think about dance, the element of surprise.
Who are your musical influences?
Musical influences. Oh, that's exciting. I have so many. From my mom, it is all the rancheras, the ballads, the Mexican ballads. And from my queer identity, it is Juan Gabriel, it is Chavela Vargas, who are both within the queer spectrum, not spectrum per se, but that they never vocalized that they were gay or lesbian, but they were such prominent figures in music. And now as they have passed and we've discovered so much about their personal histories and personal stories, that I'm like, I knew I connected to them for more than just the music. I knew there was so much more. Also currently, like, I love Bad Bunny. I love Lila Downs. It's amazing how we have someone who's from Oaxaca, who also has been in Minnesota and navigates that Mexican-American kind of identity and makes that kind of art. I will always love Shakira as well. So I love everything that falls within like Spanish music, not just Mexican.
Well, I must say you have great music taste. Which type of dance do you consider the most difficult to learn?
I'm currently taking ballet folklorico classes from Corazon Folklorico DC, which is the only folklorico company in DC. And it is so hard. I've taken tap before, but nothing like folklorico in the way that it has such a connection to the musicality. And you're also dancing around so many others. And so you have to have an ear for the music, an ear for your own like dancing, and an ear for how everyone else is dancing. Along with that, the coordination is so specific. Sometimes the feet may be going 1, 2, 3, 4, and the hands are just like moving like a lot more like luxurious, more like soft, and yet the feet are hard. And so it's that sense of coordination that for me is like, you don't get that in ballet. In ballet, everything is even, everything is proportionate. You balance things out, and there just seems to be such a difference of performance requirements when it comes to dancing ballet folklorico.
Why do you think dance is important in the Latinx community?
I think understanding your body is important. I think having an awareness to space and awareness to others as well is very important. Not to say that there's one form of dance that gives you that education. I think many forms of dance can offer that sensibility. And I think as I've gotten older and older, and I see how much my body's changing and how much I could do when I was younger, I think being able to have endurance and cardio to be able to even just do daily things are so important. And so the body is important, is what I'm trying to say. It's easy for me to just default to my phone and maybe sit down and be on my phone typing away or my laptop. And I love that my watch reminds me, hey, you need to get up. You need to move around. So it's easy for me to like tune out of my body and just go into how we are easily entertained by either our phones or our Netflix accounts. So when you can experience something in person with others moving in the same kind of patterns with the same kind of music, that itself is such a social shift that I feel needs to be attended to.
When it comes to social activism, who do you think has inspired you the most?
I'm inspired by the communities I grew up with, by recognizing that there are others who are still working so hard, have so many more challenges, and haven't had the privilege that I've had to live my life in an art form that brings me joy constantly. My life could have gone so many ways. I know that I could have stayed in my hometown, but I was very grateful for the opportunities that came around that challenged me, that motivated me to like try harder and harder, because I know not everyone has those opportunities. And it's where I'm from. It's what is a part of me. And I don't think I need anything else to tell me to continue to do the best I can for the others who are there with me, because my story wasn't easy. And I recognize that others have it much worse.
I definitely can see how the community that you grew up in is definitely something that inspires you, because it's something that you've known your whole life. So what does it mean for you to be an artist that represents the queer Latinx community?
I think about the idea of the model minority, where it's like, you're one of the few, so you must excel. Then I had that on my back for so many years. And I've done away with that because it wasn't the healthiest. But as someone who is an artist who is also queer and Latinx, I'm out there with the best of intentions, trying to make the spaces, the performances, share the stories that we didn't hear growing up. I believe that I can try to tell a story about 50 ways, and it might connect to a certain set of people. Every story can be connected by a certain group of people. There will be always someone who learns something from it, who connects to it. I'm just not setting these metrics or these quantitative systems to think like, oh, yes, I have done it now. I think it's all in the attempt, and it's all in who else comes around the table. I don't want to feel pressured like I have to succeed, but I feel that my intentions are good and that I hold myself to high standards already. So I don't want to feel like I'm here representing queer Latinx when queer can look like a million different ways and Latinx can look like a million different other ways. I'm here sharing my own perspective and also sharing the questions that I can't answer. And so that is what a queer Latinx artist means to me, is that it is one volume of a million volumes.
Can you give us an example of one of your past performances in which you take on a question? You've spoken so eloquently about how you use dance and the element of surprise in order to ruminate on these big issues that we face in society, right?
My first hour-long solo is called Out of the Shadows. And when you walk into the theater, you see the stage, and the performance starts with an announcement like, the performance of Out of the Shadows by Gabriel Mata has been canceled. Instead, he will be performing another piece by so-and-so. And so already I have the audience thinking differently. And so I start performing that work. They start seeing a body dancing, and then that body stops and it goes towards the audience and it says, I'm sorry, I forgot the steps. I've been practicing this really hard and I think I just put a lot of pressure on myself right now and I think I don't know what to do right now. That was a text that was verbalized, not word for word, but kind of to give an example. And so I use that to start off, and the title Out of the Shadows, to uncover a lot of things, to uncover the angst, the nerves, the small stumbles that happen, because I also think I relate that, oh my God, I forgot to take off my watch and I messed up on that part of the dance. And so this is all part of the act. And once the audience starts catching up, they start understanding like, oh, I'm making these connections, that this performance that they're seeing, they may have done things like that where they forgot something that they were supposed to get, or they made an error on something they were creating. So along with that, as it develops, it is one of the first instances where I share that I am an undocumented immigrant with all this pent up angst. Like, you can only hold it on for so long. And it felt like part of a confession to myself to share a part of my identity to others. And so Out of the Shadows was relating that performance anxiety, relating that stress that comes from being a dancer and wanting to please everyone, and also relating like how this body dancing so freely is actually a body that's bound so much because I, at the moment, was an undocumented immigrant.
That's so interesting. So this was like a big deal. This was your first solo performance. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about when it happened and where, but also how you felt beforehand and after you had performed it.
I got an opportunity with the Minnesota Fringe Festival to be a part of the Fringe Festival. And they were to offer me a production team, a venue, and 5 performance slots in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so I was new to Minnesota. I think I had been there for about 6 months. I was there working for a dance company, but I have also created my own work on the side. And so I try and promote, market my work as much as I possibly can. And the first show, I had a very receptive audience. And one thing that I didn't know about the Minnesota Fringe is like there's a community built around the Minnesota Fringe. Once one person saw it, they would talk to another. Like it spread like wildfire. So out of the five performances, I had a good turnout the first performance. The second one was about three quarters full. And then I sold out the last three performances. I got a really wonderful review from the Star Tribune, which is the main newspaper in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And it was a lot of great responses from people in support of me voicing my truth. And they would just come out and be like, we're here for you, whatever you need. We don't know what you need, but we're here for you. And you have this community family that's supporting you. So that really resonated with me. I don't think it was in the end about the performance, but the reaction and support that came from this audience that I had no connection to. At least at the time I didn't. Some of them have grown to be wonderful friends that I still keep in touch with and get to see anytime maybe that I go to Minnesota or that I come over to DC.
Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you would like to share with us?
I was trained to be just a performer in my younger years. And bit by bit, I started asking and learning from others the capacity or how much you can do through dance. And this is the idea of being a dancer. And I'll share this. My mother didn't understand it. She's like, so what will you do exactly? There's a lot of jobs. And I don't think our nation is the best at promoting the arts. I don't think our nation values artists or funds them. And so while I also had questions about my own capacity, about what being a dancer could be, what I should have told myself, what can being an artist do? So yes, I am an adjunct instructor. I have a master's degree in dance, but I also can do all these other things. This past weekend, I was a lighting designer for a local artist here, and I've been designing lights ever since I created my first show. I became attuned to that. I know how to do video editing. I know how to do sound editing and even compose sound music. I can get into marketing. I know grant writing and I grant write for myself. I also grant write for Ballet Folklorico, DC. I am also working with the New Orchestra of Washington because they saw some of my work and they stuck around one of my performances and they wanted to know more about me. And then we just had a casual conversation and then they're like, we want to bring you on board. So these instances where people go see art are very important. I never know who's in the room, who either wants to support in some way, who wants to share a compliment, or who has something they're working on that they'd love to have my eyes or run by me. And so these connections are made kind of naturally. I've been very fortunate that things have been consistent. And if I don't have someone offering me a project, I'm very much driven to, at the same time, be creating my own projects and my own work. And these are all the under-recognized parts of being an artist that are a business. Being an independent artist is being in an independent business. And I think we're such a capitalistic, job-driven community that sometimes we forget that there's so much that artists contribute aside from the art, aside from performances.
Thank you, Gabriel, for your interview with Hola Cultura. Join us next month, where we speak with Julio Valdez, a painter, printmaker, installation artist, and teacher. For updates on episodes and Latinx events in the DC area, follow us on Instagram at HolaCulturaDC. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Artistas in the Capital. To get involved in Latinx arts, culture, and humanities in DC, sign up to join our SFOL program and visit HolaCultura.com.